Well, it's a great day to be here today, and I'm so happy to be here this evening. And it's good to see everybody here back tonight, and especially those of you who are visiting. And we've got some wonderful things happen today. We rejoice with Justin and his family on his decision to identify with Christ and become part of the body of Christ. And we're very thankful for Janet Moreland and her coming and placing membership with us. And we're very grateful about that. And she asked, you know, how do I place membership here? And so I got her in touch with one of our elders, and we have a form in the back that you fill out, and the elders look over that information, and then we file it away, and it has some other things on there about, you know, what you'd be willing to do and things like that. So if you're thinking about placing membership here with the New Boston Church of Christ, we would be more than happy to welcome you with open arms. And we'd be very glad to pass one of those forms along to you so that you can take a look at that and see if you're interested maybe in filling that out and turning that in and talking to our elders about that. So we're very thankful for each one that's here tonight and your interest in the Lord's business. Tonight, we're going to look at a song in our songbook. You know, I have a series of sermons that I preach on songs in the songbook. And last year in the spring, we had a whole gospel meeting around the great songs of the church, you know. And some of those songs have such great lyrics and such wonderful thoughts that they're just begging for us to think about them and to see if we can't learn something from what the songwriter put down and then compare what they say with what the scriptures say and see what the scriptures say about these matters as well. And tonight I thought we would do that. And a couple of Wednesday nights ago, we had a fifth Wednesday night singing. And one of the songs that we sang that Wednesday night was a song in our songbook, Come Share the Lord. It's song number 364. So if you'd like to open your songbooks to that song, 364, you can follow along with me as we're talking about it. And you can see some of the lyrics and the message of that song. But this song, Come Share the Lord, is about the Lord's Supper. And it's about thinking about the right things when we partake of the Lord's Supper. And I love our songs that help us to focus our mind upon the Lord's Supper. And there's so many of them. And they're just about every single one are just beautiful songs, thinking about the death and the sacrifice of Christ and those wonderful things. And when we think about the Lord's Supper, I think we also think generally about 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 23 through 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 23 through 26. It's there that the Apostle Paul addresses some problems that the church in Corinth is having with observing the Lord's Supper. And he brings them back to the set pattern, the set standard for observing the Lord's Supper in the correct way. And he says these simple words starting in verse 23. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come.'" And so the Lord's Supper is a time when we remember the death of Jesus and we proclaim his death until he comes again. And so sometimes we sing songs about the Lord's death before the Lord's Supper. And Come Share the Lord is a newer song within our songbook that we can sing to remember that. And so I'd like to think about some of the lessons in the lyrics of this song. And so as we think about this, we note that the song basically declares three things. First of all, it declares the oneness of the body of Christ. And that's certainly one of the themes of the Lord's Supper, is the fellowship that we have with one another. Number two, the song helps us to remember the death of Jesus and its purpose. And number three, the song helps us to think about the Lord's return. It looks forward to the Lord's return. And so I hope that each one will understand these lyrics as we sing them. You know, the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to sing with the Spirit and sing with the, sing with the Spirit and sing with the understanding, right? And so one of the commands that we have to go through as we're singing, one of the things we have to keep in mind is that we're supposed to be understanding what we sing. And so it's a good that we stop occasionally and just talk about, well, what does this song mean? And how am I to understand it as I'm singing it? Because sometimes, you know, it's kind of easy to just let the song kind of roll through your head while you got your mind on dinner or what you're going to do later or something like that. And you don't really pay attention. And I do that sometimes to my own discredit, to my own shame, and I shouldn't do it. And sometimes it's a struggle, you know, because maybe you've got something that's really bothering you. And, you know, that's kind of hard to think about other things while you're doing that. But we need to make the effort to do what's right and really think about the Lord during the Lord's Supper and really think about the songs that we're singing as we're singing them. So when we partake of the Lord's Supper, first of all, we declare the oneness of Christ's body. Now look at the song in your songbook here. It's song number 364, Come Share the Lord. And we'll note a couple of lines from it. We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, now notice, the Father makes us one. So there's the unity aspect. There's the oneness of Christ's body. Come, take the bread. Come, drink the wine. Come, share the Lord. Now notice again. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. Finding our forgiveness here, in turn, we forgive all wrongs. So there's, when we're part of the body of Christ, no one is a stranger. Everyone does belong because we've been added to the Lord's body. And so there's that unity aspect, that oneness aspect. A little later in the song, if you'll look down to the 1, 2, 3, 4th line across, but the second stanza on that fourth line, it says, we are now a family of which the Lord is head. Though unseen, he meets us here in the breaking of the bread. So being that family, having that unity, considering that oneness that we have in the Lord, that is certainly something that we must consider when we partake of the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul says this. Now listen to these verses. 1 Corinthians 10 verses 16 and 17. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body. For we all partake of that one bread. See, when we're partaking the Lord's Supper, we're making a declaration of unity with one another. We're saying we all partake of the Lord. We're saying we all partake of the blood that He shed on that cross. We all partake of the forgiveness of sins that results from His shed blood. We all partake of His one body. And we're all part of that body. And we're all united in this aspect. And so there's a oneness there. And that's what Jesus died for. You see, that's what He wants. He wants there to be unity. He wants there to be this oneness. This is what He restores to us that was lost when sin entered the world. Because when Adam and Eve ate that fruit and they sinned against God, then they brought disunity into the world. They brought separation into the world. And they became separated from God because of their sin. And they became separated from one another because of their sin. And so now Christ brings us back together. By forgiveness of sins, we can be restored to one another. We can belong again to one another as God originally intended, as God created. And we can have that unity and fellowship with God as well. And that's what Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 13 through 22 teaches. Just listen to these verses for just a moment. Ephesians 2, verses 13 through 22. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's such a great blessing to be near because of Christ's blood. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances. You see, because the law was given to the Jews, it wasn't given to the Gentiles. And so the law had to be taken out of the way in order for the Jews and the Gentiles to be reconciled in one body. Okay? And that's what Christ was trying to accomplish. So he abolished that law, took it out of the way, so that they too could be reconciled in one body. And that's what he says here. That having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself, that is, in Jesus, one new man from the two, thus making peace. And now we're one because of what Jesus did. And that he might reconcile them both to God. Verse 16, so he brings us together and he brings us to God. That's what Jesus does. Reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Now look in verse 17. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. What a wonderful blessing it is then to be a citizen of the kingdom of God with all of the saints who have gone before us. We are fellow citizens with them of the kingdom of God. Right? And all of the saints who have gone before us, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament and in times after that and even today, all of the saints, we are fellow citizens with them. And we're no longer foreigners or strangers and members of the household of God. We belong to God's house now. We belong to God's family now, right? That's part of what the song points out. We are now a family of which the Lord has said, though unseen, he meets us here. In the breaking of the bread. So, look at verse 20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so now he's going to talk about this family, this kingdom, if you will, this building. Christ said, I will build my church. These are terms that Christ used. This building in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So this is God's temple. The church is God's temple. It's God's dwelling place. It's where we meet him, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And so that's who we meet. We meet Jesus in the Lord's Supper. He really does meet us here. He really is present when we partake of the Lord's Supper. And he is right here with us as we declare our fellowship with one another, as we declare our unity with him. And so when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we declare the oneness of Christ's body. But we also remember the death of Jesus and its purpose. Notice in the song, there's a phrase that says, finding our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all wrongs. And then listen to this. He joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. Now what is the song referring to when it says the Lord pours the cup and he breaks the bread? What is that talking about? Well, turn over to Matthew chapter 26. And verses 26 through 29 for just a moment. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26 through 29. Because when Jesus establishes the Lord's Supper, he talks about these things. And I believe that that's what the song is referring to as we look at Matthew 26 verses 26 through 29. I just washed my hands and I can't do anything with them. You can laugh at my jokes. It's okay. All right. Matthew 26, starting in verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And so Jesus is the one who breaks the bread here. He is the one who pours the cup here. He's the one who set this up. He's the one who established it. But more than this, when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, we're remembering Jesus' body that was broken on the cross, right? That's how Jesus breaks the bread, by his sacrifice on that cross. That's how he pours the cup, by his blood that was poured out on the cross. That's what those things symbolize, and that's what the songwriter is talking about when he says he is the one who does these things. Well, he does these things and to provide for us so that we can be one body, so that we can have forgiveness of sins. Finding our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all wrongs, because we find forgiveness in the shed blood of Christ on the cross. Christ's blood was shed on the cross so he could purchase that covenant. And when he purchased that covenant, he gave us the terms by which we could come to him and be forgiven by that blood that he shed on the cross. And he gives us that in his word as we study it and as we learn it and as we apply it to our life. And so Jesus uses the bread and the cup to symbolize his body and blood. We also see in this that when we eat and drink, we eat the bread and we drink the cup, that we're participating in fellowship with Jesus. And we remember the forgiveness of sins that he offers when we do that as well. And Jesus participates in the Lord's Supper in his Father's kingdom, which is the church today. And so we think about this song, as we're thinking about this song, and we're thinking about the Lord's Supper, we remember the death of Jesus, and we remember its purpose, to forgive us of sins, so that we can be brought together in the one body, which is the church. But then finally, when we're thinking about this song, we look forward to the Lord's return. And that's one of the things that we read there in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, where the Apostle Paul says, For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so we're looking forward to his coming. We're looking forward to his return. And we continue to observe the Lord's Supper. We continue to proclaim his death so that we can anticipate that return. And that's part of the lyrics of the song. It says, "We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord." We anticipate that great feast with the Lord that we're going to celebrate one day in heaven in eternity. And we'll continue to remember his great sacrifice when we get to heaven. And we'll continue to know that he was the one who made it possible for us to be there. And that will be a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so we continue to remember the Lord and remember his return. And so this reminds us of his return. But it also reminds us that the Lord is, in fact, coming back. And that we need to be prepared for that day. Turn to Matthew chapter 24 and verses 36 through 51 for just a moment. Matthew chapter 24 and verses 36 through 51. Because the Lord himself tells us that we need to be prepared. In this particular context, the Lord is answering some questions. The questions are found in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. And the disciples have these questions. "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age," or the end of the world, some translations say. And so the disciples have three questions. Now, Jesus is going to answer all three questions, but he's answering the question about the sign of his coming in verses 36 through 51. He says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Look at verse 47. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master to that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him to and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So Jesus wants us to be prepared for his coming. He doesn't want us to stop being prepared. He wants us to continue to be prepared. And observing the Lord's Supper helps us to do that. It reminds us that Jesus is coming back again and that we need to be prepared for his return. So at the close of a lesson here this evening, I thought we would go ahead and sing this song together, if y'all would like to do that. And so let's turn to song number 364, and we'll sing this song together. And then after the song, I'll issue the invitation. 364. We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. Finding our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all wrongs. He joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. We are now a family, which the Lord is head. Though unseen he meets us here in the breaking of the bread. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. It's a very pretty song, and it is very fitting to sing that as we think about Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for us. As we think about that sacrifice, we remember that Jesus died on the cross so that we might have forgiveness of sins. And he shed his blood there. And that blood poured out, purchased the covenant the new covenant that God had in mind that he would make with mankind through Jesus Christ. You see, the blood of the covenant. This is the blood of the covenant, Jesus said, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And that's why he shed that blood, so that we could have forgiveness of sins. But as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, all authority has been given unto me. All authority. Because he shed that blood, because he purchased that covenant, all authority has been given to him. And so that means that whatever he says, that's what it's going to be for us if we want to be saved. And what has Jesus said that we need to do to be saved? He said that we need to hear his word and believe it, repent of sins, confess Jesus as Christ, and be baptized for the remission of sins. And so if we want to be saved, that's what we've got to do in order to take advantage of that blood that he shed for the covenant. And entering into that, we enter into that covenant. And we receive the blessings of that covenant. We receive the spiritual. All spiritual blessings are in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And so we receive all those blessings that come as a result of being in a covenant relationship with God. And so now, as children of God, having been baptized into Christ, we're in a covenant relationship with God. And we have that forgiveness of sins that God offers to us. And so if there's anyone tonight who needs to avail themselves of coming into a covenant relationship with God through Christ, you can do that this evening. If you have any other prayers or requests at this time, we're standing ready to hear those and help you with those as well. Whatever need may be, won't you come while we stand and sing?